telling you. Open your Bibles, if you would, this evening. First of all, to Acts, the 20th chapter. Acts, the 20th chapter, verse 26 and 27. I've got two foundational passages. I've got several scriptures I want to read because of the subject matter this evening. But Acts, the 20th chapter, and verse 26, we'll read that, and then we'll go to 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, and the first two verses, if you want to hold your finger or something in those. We thoroughly enjoyed that message. Brother Tom Horn, the Holy Spirit, he set this Bible conference and the preaching right where it's supposed to be. Christ Jesus and Him crucified, our Savior. Brother Tom, I tell everybody I see concerning, or if they talk about Brother Tom, and I'm not just saying that because you're here, I always tell them he's a good preacher. And he is a good preacher. Hey, like the zeal. I mean, I used to be able to do that, but I'll tell you what, though, we appreciate you, brother. We love you. We're going to have to get you down to Oakdale. We ain't forgot about that. There in Acts, the 20th chapter, and verse 26 and verse 27. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Paul also said in 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, and the first two verses, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I would like to try to preach on this subject this evening. Preaching Christ crucified. The purpose of God. Preaching Christ crucified. The purpose of God. You know, the Apostle Paul was a great gospel preacher. He was an apostle to the Gentiles. Wanted to preach to the Jews. Would preach to the Jews. Every time he would, he'd get in trouble. But God sent him to preach to the Gentiles. And he was a great preacher. He loved the Lord. He loved preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. God called him in an amazing way. You know how lost that man was. I mean, just like every one of us, but he said he's the chiefest of sinners, so there you are. But he was trying to just completely eradicate the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But God saved him on the road to Damascus, and then he really followed the Lord. But the Lord had also given him and gifted him with the work that was set before him and revealed some things to him, revelation to the Apostle Paul that he's never revealed to anybody else, but to him. Now, we have it in the Scriptures ourselves now. He was a great man. He had wrote, the Holy Spirit had him to write about half of the books in the New Testament. I believe about 14 of them. You may disagree with me on one of them, but I believe that he wrote 14 of the books out of the 27 books. But our two texts that we have just read briefly sums up his ministry, but it sums it up pretty clearly. These two statements, one of the statements that he makes here is to the elders of the church of Ephesus in the book of Acts, and then the other to the church at Corinth, these give an understanding. These two verses give an understanding of his message. It gives an understanding of his ministry. The Apostle Paul, he preached not himself. He preached Christ Jesus and Him crucified. Now, we thank the Lord for Paul. And we thank the Lord for all of our preacher brethren. I love the preacher brethren. And I love to hear them preach. And love to fellowship with them. We don't preach Paul. We don't preach one another. We preach the Christ that the Apostle Paul preached. We preach the Christ that I believe these preacher brethren love and enjoy preaching. Our faith must not be in preachers. We can respect preachers and pray for preachers, but what we do is we worship the Lord Jesus Christ, and we don't worship the preacher, and we don't preach them. Here's the thing. Whenever we preach Christ and Him crucified, we preach the counsel of God. Now, this is what we find in Acts, the 20th chapter, verse 26. I want to go back over that just for a minute. Paul said, "Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." That's covering a lot of territory. Amen. Now, I've got several points. Brother Jerry has told me you owe me 5 messages, didn't you? You told me that. You owe me 5 messages. I'm going to try to preach all 5 of them tonight. Plus some. We'll get out of here in plenty of time. Just don't turn the lights out whenever you leave. I want to talk to you about the purpose that God has. The purpose that He has decreed, the purpose that He has revealed and given as well to the sons of Adam in Christ Jesus and Him crucified. The preaching of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ is the declaration of the purpose of God. Now, I have gone to funeral services. An Arminian, rank Arminian, be preaching at him, and he would declare some way or another that he was about to talk about or preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was as far from the gospel of Christ that I've heard or that I see in the book that I find myself before he gets started too good, doing nothing but looking up and counting the ceiling tiles just to try to detract myself from the foolishness that you hear from that. And you can take that any way that you want to. I want to show you what Paul is talking about on preaching the gospel and the declaration itself concerning that and the purpose of God. First of all, to preach the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ is to preach the eternal purpose and the will of God that obtained the death of Christ. It was the will of God. It was God's will that the Lord Jesus Christ come into this life, assume a human nature, sinless human nature, live an impeccable life, go to Calvary and bleed and die and suffer, and then He died. And He resurrected 3 days later. In Acts the 2nd chapter in verse 23, Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. In other words, God is the one that delivered Him. Says, ye have taken, that's the sons of men, that God had placed the Lord Jesus Christ into their hands, knowing full well what they were capable of doing because of the ungodliness of their heart. And they hated Christ. Because He says, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. They crucified and they slain the Lord of glory, Jesus Christ. Now, Acts the 4th chapter, verses 27 and 28 says, for of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, verse 28, for to do. Notice here, whatsoever thy hand, that's the hand of, well, and thy counsel determined before to be done, what God had decreed before the foundation of the world that would take place, even in the suffering, it pleased God that Jesus Christ be crucified. And that's the only way that it could be. You see, the crucifixion of Christ was no afterthought with God. This was purposed before the world was ever created, before there was ever a man to decide or make a decision on anything, pleasing God or whatever it might be. Christ was the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. Listen, before men fail, Christ was our surety. Before there was ever a man, our Savior, our substitute, All of the sons of men that are saved by the grace of God have a substitute, and that's Christ Jesus. If He's not your Savior, then you have no substitute. Nobody can stand before God, as He has made it so very clear this evening, unless we stand before Him in Christ Jesus in the finished work of our Savior and what He accomplished there. Known unto God, certainly all His works from the foundation of the world. Before there was ever a world, there is, and there always has been, the triune God. God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all three work together on all things. And that concerning the salvation of those that would fall, because God was going to create a world. Actually, Christ is the one that spoke the words and it come into existence. And going to create a man. That man would be perfect, upright. But then he would fall. The mercifulness of God could have just left him down. Never one of us. And go right on to hell. I hear people say about God sending people to hell. God don't have to send anybody to hell. That's where everybody's going anyway. He intervenes. Grace is the one that comes. There in Ephesians, the first chapter, in those verses 3 and 4. I've got to do this, Brother Tom. You know, we were chosen, and he covered this very well. We were chosen by God in the crucified Christ before the foundation of the world. I won't spend much time here. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Sent Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. I thank God that He chose us, because everybody talking about making a decision and free will. I hear so much about free will. Somebody says, I've got a free will. I'll tell you what, their will is just about as free as a frog in a snake's belly. They can jump around a whole lot, but they ain't going to get out of there. Like a monkey in a cage, he can jump here and there, but he ain't going to get out. He's just in it. I thank God that He makes us willing on the day of our salvation to live for Him, to love Him, to be able to stand before Him. But only God does this. But I can say this. Jesus Christ is not fully preached unless we preach Him as the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. There's a lot of messages concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. All these things that we're going to try to mention to you this evening. I know that no person can stand one time and preach the whole counsel of God, or all the counsel of God concerning Jesus Christ. We can't do that. I mean, we could take just one of these subjects, just like this one that we're talking about right now, and make a series out of it and preach. Well, it takes me on a message like this at home two or three times just finishing. This is a faithful saying in 1 Timothy, the first chapter, in verse 15. And worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. In Adam, all died. In the Lord Jesus Christ, those that were elected live, have life. He died the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. Christ Jesus. Now notice what we mean. In the cross of Christ, our sinfulness is revealed. It's right there. Our inability, our wickedness, it is revealed in the certainty of divine judgment, just as it is revealed. Whenever Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary, our sinfulness and ungodliness was revealed in Him, because He took all of our sins upon Himself. He had never sinned the first time. But you see how wicked our sin is? Oh, how men men and women can go out and freely sin. We're in the flesh, and I know that. And I know this, that this body right here and those bodies right there, they're not perfect. But I'll tell you what, it's not just our imperfections, but concerning imperfection, their sin, Jesus Christ came into this world and died for that. If you belong to Him, if you're saved by the grace of God, I need to press on. Notice with me also, preaching Christ, we must preach the holiness, righteousness, and justice of God that demanded the death of Christ. And it did. That is for the salvation of sinners. In Romans the 3rd chapter, verses 24 through 26, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. And He says again, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. God is holy. Now He's going to save mankind. He'd already determined that. So He must punish sin. He's not going to save them without punishing sin. God is righteous. His law must be honored since He is so righteous. He has the law. He has laws. They must be honored. He must do it the right way. God is just. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. God is love. But I'll tell you something. He is a just God and a Savior. And He cannot save and will not save without propitiation. I never could please God. No one could ever please God. But the Lord Jesus Christ pleased God. Whenever He went to Calvary, He started it. Whenever a body was prepared for Him and He was man here upon this earth, He never displeased God, His Heavenly Father and our Heavenly Father, not the first time. He was obedient, even obedient to the death of the cross. He never displeased God. 1 John the 4th chapter in verse 10, herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. The character of God is so great, so marvelously great there at Calvary. The very character of God Almighty. He sent His only begotten Son into this world to suffer the way He did. And you can go into the Old Testament, Psalms 85 and 10. Charles Haddon Spurgeon had said this. He said it's the most beautiful quartet that he's ever heard. That is, mercy and truth are met together. Mercy and truth are met. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. That's Jesus Christ right there at the cross of Calvary. That's our beloved Savior laying down His life. God cannot compromise His character. Therefore, Christ must die. Had to take place. Notice with me also, to preach Christ crucified, we must preach the deity and glory of Christ. If we say that we're going to preach the counsel of God, if we say we're going to preach the gospel, and I know we can't do this in every message, but we must believe this. We must be ready to proclaim this, that it makes His work effectual for the salvation of God's elect. You see what I'm talking about? It's not just the painful, shameful death of a good man that has merit with God. But it's the worth of that man. In other words, it's who that man is. You and I couldn't have done it. I don't care how good a person might have been. Couldn't have done it at all. It's not just blood shed. He did shed His impeccable blood. There's no question of that. But it's whose blood is shed. It's not just any blood. It is the perfect blood of the Son of God. In Romans the 8th chapter, verse 34, who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died. yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Jesus Christ is the man who died. He's the man that died. But he is also God who could never die. You know, whenever those men had Jesus Christ and they were taking him, of course, he voluntarily went to the cross, and we know that. He went as a man. And he died as a man. He shed that blood. He shed it. He gave up the ghost. He gave up the ghost. I used to have a bad saying. I caught myself one time. I was talking about a plant out in the garden. I said, well, it didn't make it, died over. And I said, it gave up the ghost. He just gave up the ghost. Really, that's wrong. Jesus Christ is the only one that could give up the ghost. He yielded his own life. Father, to thy hands I commend my spirit. And the Bible says he gave up the ghost. He laid down his own life. Jesus Christ is that man. There in Isaiah the 9th chapter in verse 6. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That's Christ. The God-man himself, who is God, the representative man, because he is, and he stands as our representative before the throne of God Almighty himself. He's the federal head of the chosen race. In the beginning was the Word, is what the Bible says. Well, the Word was made flesh. And the Word was with God, the Bible says, and dwelt among men. And the Word was God, and we beheld His glory. The glory as the only begotten Son of God. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself. Beloved, whenever we preach Christ crucified, we must declare who Christ is. He's the Son of the living God, but He's God. He's God. He become man. I know in the Old Testament we can see the Christophases of Christ as He would take on human form, but that was not whenever He assumed that human nature that we have in the New Testament at all. But He's still God. He's God. Another one. Whenever we preach Christ and Him crucified, we must preach Christ as the fulfillment of every promise and prophecy that you find. Let's just consider the Old Testament. In fact, we'll pick up the Old Testament from Luke, the 22nd chapter, verses 44 through verse 46, just for the sake of time. And the Lord said to them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which was written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Then, those men didn't understand, but then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. He opened up their understanding. What? From the Old Testament Scriptures. They didn't have the New Testament. The New Testament wasn't written. They had the Old Testament. We find the Lord Jesus Christ throughout the pages, from Genesis through the book of Malachi. The Old Testament has the message, it has the meaning and the death of Christ as the sinner's substitute upon the cross of Calvary. There's the seed of the woman bruising the serpent's head. Beloved, that's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. Abel's sacrifice, Noah's ark, the Passover lamb. Remember that? The tabernacle, the priesthood, the mercy seat. There's the manna from heaven. There's the serpent being lifted up. What were they to do? Go up there and touch it? No. Look at it. Look at it. Eyes of faith, believing God. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Beloved, it's not just the Scriptures in the New Testament, thank God for them, but it's the Scriptures in the Old Testament from Genesis right on through Malachi. Right on through. Let me try to get through here. Notice also, and you know, people, we hear people talking about, I preach the whole counsel of God, and I'm going to preach Christ and Him crucified. I'll tell you what, to preach Christ crucified, we must preach free and full justification by grace, and not by works. No person is ever saved by works. Jesus Christ did all the work. If Christ represents us before the justice of God, where in the world do we come in on that then? What can we present ahead of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is anybody going to say, wait a minute, Lord, I've got this. Move over just a minute. It doesn't happen like that. We stand before God in Christ Jesus. We're fully honored because of the finished work of Christ, Christians. God is satisfied with Christ Jesus as our substitute. Then our salvation is complete. There's no way in the world we can even begin it. So how in the world could we complete it? How can we work up? People are ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth today. In Colossians, the second chapter, verses 9 and 10, for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. That's Christ Jesus. Believing on Him, we are justified by what He has accomplished, by what He finished, not by what we do. There in Acts, the 13th chapter, verses 38 and 39, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin through Christ. And by Him, all that believe are justified from all things, from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. An Arminian so-called gospel message wouldn't hang in very close on that scripture at all from a lot that I have read. Salvation is the gift of God. Salvation is by the grace of God. Salvation is free. Salvation is eternal. You're not going to be saved today and then lost tomorrow because you slipped, because you sinned. We're complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is unconditional. It's without works. If you're saved by God's grace, we ought to be working, but not to obtain salvation. We ought to be doing what we ought to do for the glory of God. We ought to be loving the Lord, and that's right. We need to tell the Lord we love Him more often than we do. We need to stand by that. In 2 Timothy, the first chapter, in verse 9, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works. But according to His own purpose and grace, which was given, it's a gift, which was given unto us in Christ Jesus after you are saved. Wait a minute. Before the world began. See why I count ceiling tiles a lot of times in those funeral services with an Arminian. Our works do not earn anything at all. It does not maintain it. If it doesn't do that, how in the world can it complete it? It's completed in Christ Jesus. Quickly. Here's another one. To preach Christ crucified, or to say that we're going to preach Christ crucified, we preach the sure preservation and the final perseverance of the saints of God for all whom Christ died. For all whom He died, each and every one, He must save. For everyone that Christ laid down His life, God must save them. We won't take time, but you can read that in the 6th chapter of John. Verses 36, 37, 38, 40. Somewhere in there. They must all be kept. They must be saved, but they must be kept by the Savior. They must be brought to glory. as well because of the Savior. They must come into glory. We persevere, and the reason we persevere is because of the grace of God Almighty. That's it. I want to give you the others, so I'm just going to touch here and there upon them. If we say that we're going to preach the counsel of God and the purpose of God concerning Christ crucified, then we must preach His glorious resurrection and ours. I've said when Christ died, when He lived and when He died, and He did die, but He resurrected. He brought His, He resurrected Himself. He did that. Christ had to die in order to come alive, in order to rise. And He rose for our justification. John 12:24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die." Christ taught that lesson. It abideth alone. It's all by itself. It affects nothing or no one. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. So it must die. Christ had to die. But He resurrected. When He resurrected from the dead, God Almighty accepted Him, and His work was accomplished. Acts 17:31, "Because He hath appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, wherefore He hath given assurance unto all men, and that He hath raised Him from the dead." Because He lives, we live, beloved. Amen. We live spiritually. We live physically, but we live spiritually. If you're saved by God's grace, then we should really be spiritual. We live eternally. We're going to know what spiritual is whenever we enter into glory. I'll tell you what, you'll lay that faith down whenever you enter into glory. You won't need it anymore. Loving the Lord. To preach Christ, if we say that we're going to preach Christ and Him crucified, is to proclaim the work of the Holy Spirit. I just want to read several verses here. Bear with me on this, if you would. John 16:7, beginning in verse 7. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Our Lord said, it's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I'll send Him unto you. And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on Me. Of righteousness, because I go to My Father and you see Me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth." And the Holy Spirit will. "For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine and shall show it unto you." You know, somebody thinks, "Well, I'm just going to lay down right here and not going to do anything. The Holy Spirit's going to come and He's going to teach me all things. He's going to come and He's going to drill a hole in my head and put a funnel in that, and then He's just going to pour knowledge in it." It doesn't work that way. We look into His Word right here. Read the Bible. See what God's Word is. See just what He is saying. I've got one last thing, and I'll be quick on that. More scripture than it is anything to preach Christ. This is not all of them, but my time is gone. To preach Christ crucified is to preach His glorious second advent. Our Savior is coming again. He's coming. Now, I don't want to get into an eschatological debate. I don't hold to the post-trib, I don't hold to the mid-trib, I don't hold to the pre-wrath trib, and I'm not a no-mill. No-mill. The Lord Jesus Christ could come any time. It's imminent. He could come before this service is over. Brother Jerry jokingly has told me more than one time about events having here Bible conference. He said, we're going to have it. But let me tell you, if the Lord comes back, you come right on, because I'm not going to be here. But every person that's saved by God's grace is going home. They could have this building, Brother Jerry. Let them have all of it. God bless you.